simia in the bronchial tract.
Mm-hmm.
And now the you want what that is?
Yeah, well, yes, because yeah, that could describe it medically, actually.
Okay, it's a constriction of the flow of your circulatory, of your circulation.
Mm-hmm. Blood circulation or air circulation?
Well, you can't, one is for a reason for the other.
Uh-huh, okay.
So that disconnect could apply to circulatory.
Yeah.
That disconnection could also apply to the blood.
Yeah, okay.
To the oxygenation of the blood.
Okay.
And when that constricts or makes a constricted position or when you're pushing against it,
mm-hmm.
that's when that becomes the problem symptom.
So it's someone having a disconnection which causes a constriction?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Would that be then when someone has a disconnection that manifests as a constriction?
Not a disconnection, a constriction.
And what causes the constriction?
Okay, in little kids, it's when they don't want to go outside and play.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pushed to go out inside and do something that they don't like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say, an athletic event that
mm-hmm.
they don't care for,
mm-hmm.
then they'll have a bronchial spasm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, then they got to be on the albuterol
mm-hmm.
to help soothe it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, so now they become in a less connected state.
Mm-hmm.
So now they don't have to get forced to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Runners who don't like to run,
mm-hmm.
that are forced to do that kind of thing, that would be a, they would have a not a disconnection, but a isolation that would not impede their life, but make them not have to do that thing they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
It's sometimes triggered when the heart rate gets over 158.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that racing or that little bit of tachycardia, then that's set into place of an overload. So the bronchial cilia becomes the breaker, mm-hmm. like an electricity, that shuts it down.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's an excuse. It's a reason to not have to compete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And older ones, when they get bronchitis, like some of what you're saying sounds like asthma. Is it? Are you talking about bronchitis or asthma?
Bronchitis.
And in
because that becomes an infection.
Mm-hmm.
Asthma is just a disconnection from a spasm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That you think that your oxygen is high when it's not, and so those flows.
Mm-hmm.
They seize.
Mm-hmm.
That's another aspect. But chronic bronchitis comes from folks that when it gets cold and they don't want to be cold and go outside, they develop chronic bronchitis so they don't have to go outside all winter long. They don't want to get the pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
See? But they have vaccinations for pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
So they just call it bronchitis.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that vaccinations cause bronchitis?
They used to be the fear or the disconnect was pneumonia.
Yes, yeah.
Well, they give vaccinations for pneumonia now,
mm-hmm.
so they just call it chronic bronchitis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Same deal. If those cilia seize, then they get wet. And when they get wet, then they start getting the crackles. And when you start getting the crackles, that's what you call bronchitis if it's not infected.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they had to drain the fluid.
They call bronchitis if it's not infected. We said earlier that bronchitis was infected.
Yes,
and
yes. But one is an infection and one is affected.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an infection, it's an affection.
Mm-hmm. So bronchitis is an infection and asthma is an affection.
Correct.
Okay.
Now those overlap a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because most asthmatics have a tendency to a bronchial spasm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is not asthma.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they're all laying on top of each other, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, what's the difference mm-hmm. between arthritis and a knee replacement?
Mm-hmm.
There is some difference, but most time they have a little of both, you see.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, good. Okay, anything more to add before?
All participants are now unmuted.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Bob must have got cut off. And Bill muted us.
No, oh, sorry. I've been talking to you and I forgot to unmute me. Okay. I stopped, Bert. Because I wanted to see if you'd been listening to the medical ailments. I think we finished the bronchitis. There might be one more statement, but pretty well finished it, and they're going to go on to another topic. But what do you say? I haven't had your feedback on the medical stuff.
It's funny how what Ion is describing with Carolyn, it parallels total biology, but they won't admit it, but it sounds like it, but it has a lot to do with the laboratory mind interfering with the body processes. It's amazing to hear. It's really a great series.
Good, because we didn't finish. Gene ended up the discussion over total biology by saying, Bob, we're on Carolyn's side. I found some other stuff where I definitely said, no, we're not total biology, but we'd have to get into it to figure out what my point is. But I don't think total biology is what Ion's talking about. The mind.
Yeah, it's the mind. It's the mind interacting with the body is what I'm getting from my listening to it.
Yeah.
And how it interferes
well,
with the process.
Well, it's physical and non-physical.
Yes.
You've got disconnect. That causes problems. So disconnect can be between your physical and non-physical.
Yes.
And the mind is just a confusing interloper. Then there's mind problems. It's almost like there's physical problems, non-physical, and labyrinth of mind. Three areas, and one of them can cause a problem, whereas total biology focuses too much on the physical.
Yes.
That might be what
I'm trying
to say.
It's really fun to listen to. It's really interesting to listen to.
Okay. Well, here's a question, Bert. As I listen to it now, I heard it last night, and I hear it again, I find it hard to follow unless I really took the time to rewind and get the stuff. He moves too fast.
Yes.
So
you do.
Do you find that problem?
I have to do. Yes, yes. I have to go back and listen when he has a point. Because you're feeling, it gets a feeling. You're listening, and then you lose it, and you get a feeling. So I always have to go back and say, okay, what did they say? What was that?
Yeah.
Because it's a really interesting flow from Ion.
It's impressive how fast Ion is. But for understanding, it takes a lot of work and time to get what he's saying.
Yes.
And in a way, you know, only Carolyn could get it. She has enough natural, instinctual medical knowledge to get what he's referring to.
Yeah.
You know? But even, yeah. I don't know how much she's paying attention to, how much she did pay attention to it. And she's not re-listening to it now as I'm playing it. She might catch a bit of it, but it's usually later, and she's gone to bed. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if she needs to hear something in there. So we're counting on close listeners like yourself, Bert, to see what you notice. So keep taking notes about it.
I will.
See what it is. So what do you say to that, Gene? That he's still trying to defend total biology?
I wondered if Carolyn was familiar with total biology before Ion came along.
Yes. She took the courses in January 2008. I went with her. We went to Phoenix. And that was, we was still in New York. Pretty sure it was January 2008. Might have been January 2007, but probably 2008. And we're only going to be in New York a few more months. And that, so she was doing total biology in depth before Ion showed up, the year before. That's when she wasn't paying much attention to JW.
Mm. And I was making tea, Bob. What are we listening closely for?
Well, I know that Ion talks too fast for anybody to understand what he's saying. And Carolyn can keep up with it because she instantly knows the medical terms that he uses,
yep,
or the medical biology. We can't. And so I wondered if Bert was having the same problem, and he is, and he has to take the time to rewind, re-listen to it.
Yeah, and I have to take notes. Just and that's what I'm. That's what seems different. Carolyn is taking notes, and Ion seems to be speaking in that flow, knowing that she's
right.
Just, you know, she's writing it down, getting it down to review,
yeah,
later or whatever. Yeah.
But I think it's quite amazing. As soon as a disease or some ailment's mentioned, Ion goes right into it, right away.
Yep.
That's what you're talking about, eh, Bert? How rapid Ion is about it.
Yes.
Ion seems to know all about it as soon as she mentions a topic. He's got the answer
right there.
It's almost
like he has a visual on it, Bob. It's quite phenomenal. It's I kind of see him looking at the disease itself. It's,
yeah, yeah,
quite bizarre. You're kind of in the cilia with him, and you know, then it can quickly move to asthma, and you've got to be on your toes. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is really, I think it should be considered brilliant Ion, and you guys agree it is.
Yes.
Sure.
And remember, it's 2 months. It starts in April. 1 month after Ion shows up, he's talking on that speedy level.
And we're only on the B's.
Like, no, yeah, you know, he's not gradually learning stuff about humans. He could have done that the first day.
Yeah. And the depth of their understanding,
yes,
of how they explain it is amazing. I mean, that's something that we're used to. Just like the clip you played before, only those on the RNA drops and have been here a while can follow that circular questioning, because someone,
yes,
linear would get lost from,
yeah,
after the second question. Mm-hmm. They'd hang up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No doctor would listen to this and they'd say, well, he's a really good bullshitter, and probably half of it sounded wrong, but they would not be take the time to listen to it because they probably thought it's bullshit because the guy's talking,
right,
Ryan's talking so fast.
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty good the way Carolyn, a month after Ion's there, she's doing it. She's in there with Ion. She's the only person on the planet probably tolerate it and keep up with it or get something out of it.
Yeah.
Bob, I like the way you triangulate it, though, between the labyrinth of the mind and the meat sack body and, just the non-physical. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very. It's those three elements.
All three are involved, at least,
yeah,
in Little Man. And Ion says the mind dominates in,
yes,
Little Man. So,
yeah, Bob,
you've
found
pretty. Yeah,
being
go ahead
on the formulary, you kind of don't get sick. I can't remember when last I had a cough or a,
yeah,
cold or bronchitis or whatever. So I don't know,
yeah,
whether that's the RNA coming in and nailing the labyrinth of the mind. Well, I'm not really worried about what nails what, but it's quite amazing how the body repairs itself. by staying with the program. Really is it really is manna from heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, Ayn says you get a cold from the restructure and then you don't get one after. Well, that's true for me. I got a cold, I think, at the beginning and then nothing since then. And there have been opportunities for me to get a cold.
Yeah.
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 There's an epidemic of sickness in Switzerland right now. Almost everybody is sick and I'm walking around with nothing at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, epidemic. They're calling it an epidemic of what they call the flu, but not really the real flu, but they call it the flu in German. But I'm walking around and it's an epidemic right now.
Just so right, I can do this.
I don't feel like I can get sick. Like, we went to the, you know, luxurious morning breakfast at the Andes Hotel. Man, I scarfed down fucking pancakes, syrup, incredible stuff. Twice in a couple of days.
Twice.
And, you know, and I could have gone on and ate more. It's ridiculous. If I want to, I can eat a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I got time.
Well, the flu is running rampant here. Everyone's dropping like flies. They're talking about they're talking about making everyone wear face masks at work so that no one else gets sick.
What?
And I'm still standing, and everyone in my office had a flu shot, and they all got sick. And I didn't. And I'm fine.
Yeah. They should start to notice these assholes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should notice. Look at that lady over there. She didn't fucking do anything, and she's there having a good time. But, you know, yeah. So nobody's observed you yet in this condition.
Oh, yeah, and everyone has got hand sanitizer on their desk. And everywhere they go, they're constantly slathering it on their hands.
Yeah.
They gave me a bottle, too, and it's still closed. It's sealed and on the back of my desk. I haven't used it.
But. And I'm noticing more and more when I walk out of the water, everybody's like stunned. That fucking guy just fucking kept stroking for 45 minutes. He didn't stop once. I think that's impressive, right? You just keep swimming. You don't stop.
Right.
Yeah. That's
and then you would kill him if you told him how old you are, Bob. You would kill him. They would die right on the spot if you told him how old you are.
Yeah, when we used to go in the morning in 2008, 2009, there was this guy who would swim, you know, maybe 2 miles across the bay. I mean, and then we'd be walking, he'd be swimming while we're walking, and then eventually we'd get in the water, and then he'd arrive at Polo Beach. Sometimes he might be a little later when we're out, so I'd talk to him, and he'd been doing it for a long time. But I don't go in the morning anymore. I don't know if he's still doing it. But I was very impressed with that guy, the length he did. But I could do that now. I could do what he did, you know, if I took the time. Because I'm it must take him maybe an hour. If I can go 45 minutes, 50 minutes, I can go another 10, 15 minutes and make the whole distance, which would that would be shocking to me if you told me I was going to do that back in 2008.
Hmm.
So there's the my program has gotten my endurance, non-human endurance.
Yeah, that's super impressive. And then learning to surf for the first time too, Bob. That's a really big deal.
That is really fun. And, you know, there's no way I can do a 40-foot wave, but sure would be great to be able to do it.
Listen to you.
Like I'm practicing. I practice after I swim my lengths, I then do three 44-stroke head down, holding my breath, three times, and then I leave the water. Wow. So I go, you know, one stroke is stroke, 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 stroke. I do 22 stroke, stroke, but that's 44 strokes, two times 22. Wow. And I think I'm holding my breath for about 40 seconds. I can't go past that. How the hell do you fucking do it for 5 minutes and all that those guys do? You know? But you got to be able to hold your breath, man.
There's a difference between holding your breath and moving, swimming and holding your breath, number one.
Yeah.
You're moving your lungs. But still, that's amazing. You do 22 full repetitions of your arms before you take another breath.
Yeah, 44 strokes.
Bob, that is phenomenal on any human level. So, I mean, I don't know what you want to go
for. You're doing the American.
Wait, you're impressed with my 40 seconds? You're impressed with my 40 seconds?
With the stroke.
Bob, that's very impressive.
Yes.
You're moving your body.
That's huge.
You're using your lungs. It needs oxygen. Your brain needs oxygen. You're holding your breath. I mean, it's kind of counter. Yeah, you're moving.
Oh,
you know, the
I
guys
see.
That do the deep sea diving, and they go down for, you know, however long, they just glide down and then glide back up again using as little energy as possible.
Oh,
you're using truckloads of energy to get 22 strokes. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
44 strokes.
Those strokes, Bob, that swimming, like the American crawl is designed for breathing that doesn't interrupt your movements. So that you move your head each time, but you're not utilizing that. You're staying under for that many strokes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You stroke 22 times without breathing.
No, 44 strokes. The right arm and the left. The right arm and then the left. 22 sets of two. Right.
Yeah. Full.
I go one, two, three. Four. The choo-choo is each arm. So two complete strokes is one set and 22 sets. But it's actually 44
times.
Strokes.
That's crazy.
So you do 22 sets before you take a breath?
Yeah. And it's about 40 seconds.
He does 22 strokes in between breaths.
I do 44 strokes. 44. Forget the goddamn 22.
Oh, I get what you're saying. They're full repetitions.
22 sets.
22
sets.
Awesome, man.
22 with the left arm, 22 with the right arm, Bob.
It's,
yes. 22 on the right, 22
on the left.
Oh, and
you swim in circles, too?
No, I go straight. I go one direction.
I'm kidding.
And then I stop, you know, lay around for a minute, 2 minutes, then do 44 back the opposite direction straight. And then I pause, catch my breath, and then I do it again, a third time going back the same direction I did the first stretch on. And I had to make sure.
Are you doing crawl or backstroke, Bob?
This is crawl.
The head's in the water.
Yeah. Looking at the bottom.
And why are you doing this?
Yeah,
to practice holding my breath so when I go do the 40 footers, I got a chance to survive.
He counts ever since he met Mark. One.
What'd you say? I'm learning how to drum, too.
You have
I'm
to
counting.
Count, Bob.
I'm into the Mark counting.
Count, Bob. Count.
Yeah. But it's so hopeless. I don't see how you can improve. I don't know what you have to do to get up to holding my breath for a minute. I hadn't thought that I was being too busy. Maybe I should just fucking sink down below and hold my breath, not move.
Yes.
You'd be surprised what you could do then.
Yes. Bob. Yeah.
Or see how long you can swim without holding your breath. Do it the way, you know, breathe regularly and see how long you can swim, for God's sake.
Oh, well, I do go. I go the four laps, sometimes six laps, 45 minutes in the water, constant swimming.
Holding your breath that way the entire
time?
No,
breathing.
No.
Breathing. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's brilliant.
So, more and more people, I walk out of the water, and people, strangers, start applauding. Like they're watching.
So, Bob, you've avoided the high club. Now you're getting the applaud club. I mean.
Right. Well, Shannon and her husband, I was doing my laps, waiting for them to show up the beach, and they showed up when I was near ending, so they saw they actually saw half of it, and me finishing the breaststroke and then doing the crawl, and she says, I don't know how you can go through the water with your breaststroke. I mean, that's hard. She thought the breaststroke, she's not a great swimmer, but she thought the breaststroke was hard to do, and she couldn't believe how it could keep going, despite the waviness and all that. And then she was really impressed with the form of my stroke. I mean, she was flabbergasted at what she saw. So, but I'm the only guy out there doing it. But yesterday there was this interloper, this fucking bum wannabe. He was attempting to swim with a stroke. No one swims. And there's this guy, and he'd go like, you know, 40, 25 strokes and then stop and then sort of float around. Then he'd do another ridiculous bunch of strokes. Like, he didn't have the idea of going all the way to the end of the beach, you know.
Hmm.
He was just sort of attempting to do it for a short burst. Anyways, that's what the drops have done for me. I'm not tired when I finish.
How many drops are you taking before you swim, Bob?
I used to take one tablespoon. Now I'm doing 2 tablespoons. And I don't know if it's 50, twice, 100 drops, or 200 drops. We don't have a dropper.
The equivalent of a bottle for most of us. Yeah.
Yeah, I do a bottle. I do a bottle every day. Whole bottle.
A whole bottle. Okay, Bob, your 44 strokes is not impressive. You should be at least a half a bottle.
Yeah, should be at least what? You get drowned out.
You said your 44 strokes on half a bottle is not impressive, Bob. You should be at 80. At least 88 strokes. No, no, yeah. You should double this, Bob. This is not good on a half a bottle of RNA.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You're talking about holding my breath for 80 strokes?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I don't think
half a bottle
help the breath holding. They have not improved. I've been doing it for a couple of years now. No improvement.
And sometimes, the restructure, Bob? Half a tub.
Yeah, that is. I think my stamina is probably better, but... Anyway, the point is I do 22, take a little break, then do 22, then do 22. 44 three times. The second one, where I go in the opposite direction, it often seems to be going into the waves. Sometimes I only get to 19. Can't get to 22 sometimes on the second attempt because I'm going against the waves.
Yeah, and you're exerting yourself more.
Yeah, a little bit more. But then the third one, I'm going back the easy way, and I get up to 26, 27 easily, you know. It's the third one's easy. First one's sort of easy. Second one's hard. Third one's super easy.
Wow. That is impressive,
but
Bob.
If you saw how far this guy swam, and I thought he was a Superman, I now could do that, you know, 10 years later.
So, probably Bob, do you think you just got out of the labyrinth of the mind and you just put your head down and did it?
I don't know. I think the drops just make you strong. My stamina, I noticed my stamina was incredible once I started the drops. So I can walk up hills, and I start to might feel a little tired, but it doesn't get any worse. I just keep ignoring the fatigue, and you can keep going strong.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't weaken. It might hurt, but it's not a bother.
Right. That's the exhaling. Because I do some things for my training, and at first it was freaking. I remember talking to Ian about it, is that when I train, no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm punching, kicking, or lifting, if I just stop thinking about it, I find that I'm exhaling more and I have more strength and I'm able to go longer and then it starts to freak me out. I'm like, wait a minute, I should be finished by now or tired, but I'm able to keep going. Yeah, it's the drops. The whole thing is changing our whole system of how we deal with it, body. It's what it's doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started playing.
So you start to feel a bit fatigued, sore, or whatever, but you can ignore it.
Yes, you just keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like whatever you got to do. I mean, I did a lot of walking last year. I mean, a lot of high hill walking. And, I mean, you know, the mind saying this should be tough, but I was just like, fuck it, keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't even have to stop.
Right.
Yeah. If you were forced, you're in a concentration camp, and they made you keep walking, like for 5 hours, you could do it.
Yes.
Yeah, but Bob, you're not chugging down two spoons of RNA drops in a concentration camp. I mean, let's get real here.
No, we get ion to smuggle it in, you know, it just show up there under your pillow.
No, well, if you'd carried on with that last archive, Bob, we would have got the key to portaling. We would have just portaled through the fence.
Yeah.
But we didn't. It just stopped. Hey, you know,
that was a pretty neat description of her learning how to portal at the wall and the different phases of the spinning.
Yes.
That was pretty neat.
It
was worth it after
the
all these
diagram,
painful but... first 40 minutes, right? First 40 minutes was painful, but then it got good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's one you have to listen to.
Period.
What you'd find is painful at first is just, it's a whole different level of you engaging ion. If you go back and listen, I'm going to go back and listen, you get more points because I was seeing it, but then there would be a change. But it's really, there's a lot of details is what it is, basically.
Yeah. But it's also a different frequency, Bert. I found that, you know, initially it kind of is a lot, and Bob's questioning is quite, sounds kind of annoying. But then when you kind of get into that frequency, it just starts to move it in a different direction. And then Bob then flips it by going all quiet. And you kind of go, okay, where's he going now with this? But I can't believe that archive's finished, Bob. Very disappointed.
No, but Bob did go off track several times.
but that was 2 hours. That recording going to the archives tomorrow, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes what I played you.
Really?
It didn't feel like it.
Not at all.
I wonder if the recording fucked up. Maybe it got jumped. I don't know. See, the board says it's, 45 minutes, but Bill told me the board doesn't register it properly. So if you get a chance, see if it was 2 hours and 40 minutes total when you re-listen to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe something got chopped out, but no, we listened to a lot.
No, it was a lot, but 2 hours and 40 minutes didn't seem like it. But
Oh, man, and it's the basis.
No time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a number of things. It's the basis for so much that we've heard since then. So, you know, getting the detail is cool. Oh, what did you just say, Bert? What was the other thing? Oh, time. There were a couple examples there that really gave me the concept that ion really can't pinpoint by the year when something happened.
No.
And it
doesn't even care, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he can get the time if you know it. He'll be right. No, he's sometimes accurate on time.
Well, there was, I don't know, I just got the sense of how they don't.
It's not relevant.
Categorize it. They don't think it up like we do. It's a different, a different sense that ion has. And he said before now or after now, or something like that was the way ion distinguished it. Those weren't exactly the words, but
yeah,
they
said that was the beginning when I still was concerned about time and dating.
Right.
I'm doing a lot of 6-degree questions there, which he later banned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a matter of fact,
I noticed
that. This was before Revelation, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, this is a year before Revelation.
This gives me a better illustration of ion's confusion of timing or confusion of time by our definition, how we categorize, you know, history in the past and the present and the future. And that happens a lot in Revelation, but there was better examples in this archive.
Of what? Of ion not knowing what time it was?
Not being able to pinpoint by date.
Right. And he may have gotten, you know, Camilla Bowles mixed up with the 36.
I'm still really intrigued by Mary the First. Bloody Mary and Mary, Queen of Scots.
She totally, got lost. The Mary First of England, you know, lost within the Mary Queen of Scots myth.
Well, and yeah, Ion said Mary Stuart. And Mary Stuart was not born of Catherine of Aragon, but he was talking about the Queen Mother. So I don't know.
Yeah. It could get, Ion can make mistakes in the course of the rapidity, because remember, they're going to try to tell us something. So they make a mistake at some point in the early part, but then look at what he told you in detail about her at the wall.
Yeah.
Well, or is it Ion's misinterpretation of the human concept of time? Are both Marys the same Mary in different histories, in different time periods in our history?
Right.
Yeah.
So the here at the wall, we know the Wall Street. You guys heard the Wall Street reference and other references.
Yes, that's.
But I had forgotten here at the wall is at the key point of the main figure of the 20th century.
At Balmoral.
Yeah, and you hear Ion say here at the wall, and he says, we mentioned it a few times, 18 times or something. They had already been talking about it. Wall Street
is
different thing.
But it's not specifically Balmoral. It's like here at the wall, any wall. Wasn't she going through walls at the other place?
Yeah, in a room.
Edinburgh. Absolutely. He was talking about, well, then she figured
Edinburgh
it out. She
first,
could do it from her room.
Then it was in her bedroom. No,
right.
Mainly the wall is Edinburgh. Edinburgh, because she would go out there and put her nose up and do it along the wall for many times. Then she got better and could do it at home. But it began at the wall.
It's really interesting, too, because The Crown, season 2 of The Crown just aired. I just watched that recently. I'm sure others did, too. And she goes to her home. Yeah, she goes to Balmoral. She also goes to Scotland to retreat, to take a vacation and get away. She goes to Scotland, which is her family home, apparently. And Ion talked about that.
I think that was, I remember in some
or is
movie,
that Edinburgh?
Someone bought land. I think, did I see this? They bought, the older woman went up to some farmer and bought the house next to him, and then they became friends. Was that the Queen Mother?
That was the Queen Mother.
That was the Queen Mother.
That was the Queen Mother, Bob. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was buying something else. That wasn't Balmoral. That was something else for her that she wanted.
Yeah. That was across from Balmoral, Bob.
Across, yeah.
Yeah.
So is that what you're talking about, Jean? Why'd they bring that up? Did you say something?
I don't know if it's the same property that Queen Elizabeth goes to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's those things. Yeah, maybe Queen Elizabeth got to go there. But the Queen Mother was alive for, you know, all those years. She just died.
Right.
Queen Elizabeth goes to Balmoral a lot. Yeah, that was the Queen Mother's house.
But she was not going to the Queen Mother's cottage that she got from some farmer guy.
She wasn't. No. That was the Queen Mother's secret hideout, Bob, that she bought. Her retreat. Yeah. Bob, a quick question. How many people do you know have used this method to portal into other worlds?
What method? The wall?
Yeah. No, with a six, starting at six and the symbols and the colors and all of that.
No, that is the system. You guys don't know about that, I don't think. No,
well, that's what
the
we were hoping
you
for today.
No, Ion doesn't give out that stuff. I don't know when he's going to do it or how you guys are going to do it, but, you know, we have a special chart on that. And we're not allowed to, she was told, Queen Mother, not to give it out to anybody. We're not allowed to give it out for some reason.
But do you know of other people who've used that method to portal in that same manner?
No, I only know that's how you do it or how Ion's instructed us and said the Queen Mother did the same thing.
I have to share an experience in the spring of 2008, early one morning, 3-4 in the morning. I woke up suddenly and I started to sit up. And so my head was up and like I was looking down towards my feet. And there was a spinning multicolored wheel in front of me, just floating in the air. I remember my eyes got really big because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it came towards me and I was gone. I was asleep, unconscious again. And I woke up a few hours later and remembered just that.
Yeah, it's like what I saw on acid or whatever it is I had. I don't know what I had, but I was given it and it was a really good experience. But there was this spinning wheel showing up all over the place. And I think it was a clock.
A clock?
Yeah, the clock image, the clock face that he's talking about is what I kept seeing. And the hands were whirling around or something. So I probably triggered that part of our cellular level. The Emerys say LSD just confuses your brain signaling. So, you know, deeper stuff can pop out.
Opened
so
up a sense.
The clock is
opened
in there,
up some sort
right?
of a... Opened
That's
up a sense.
Reminded me of something about clocks, Bob, which might be some way related. I remember reading that when clocks were first used, they weren't used the way we use them now. They were used differently in that people would set their clock at sunset to 6 o'clock in the evenings. And so time was always local to the area that you were. But it's interesting that they would set the clock to six.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this thing we've got is called a legend. And I played a week or two ago, might have been last week, remember? The legend, the shapes, are the beginning of matter. They're in between worlds.
Oh, that's right.
They're the
right.
glue between worlds. Think of that sentence that I played at the beginning of last week or the week before.
Yes.
So the shapes of reality are like beneath the electrons and atoms.
Ion also said that the OA movements had the symbols in them.
Yeah.
Yep.
As well as
one of
the 14 degrees
too.
Of freedom.
Yep.
So maybe when consciousness made matter, it made a gesture and it had a shape.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during that time, Bob, I was attending this New Age workshop thing that ran for a few weeks on Sunday mornings. My roommate and I were going. We were taking it from a woman called Chris Tonner, who was psychic. And I described to her the experience I had, and she got a weird look on her face, and she said, "That's not for you to know." And then a few weeks later, I reminded her of that, because I was still looking for more information, and she didn't remember it happening at all. And other people in the class did, but she did not. She didn't have any memory of saying that to me.
Right. Well, that's why Ion's better. You get a lot of these amateurs running around being half psychic.
It's not for you to know.
It's very limited. I mean, none of those psychics could do with ailments what you're hearing Ion do with ailments.
Right. Right.
They might claim they know something and say, "Oh, you take homeopathy for that," or you do some nutrients. But Ion is explaining it.
Yeah, being a half psychic is just not acceptable anymore, Bob.
Right. Well, even being psychic. Yeah, I'm not interested in anybody. I don't care what they can do. They can't do what Ion does. They can't. Sean was telling me that Rose McGowan, the woman who triggered the Harvey Weinstein thing and is at the end of Jay Dyer's Esoteric Babylon, Esoteric Hollywood book,
yeah.
Rose McGowan was in Charmed, he said. He's listened to a lot of the Ion stuff. And he says, you know that TV show, which is one of Ion's finest hours, you know, explaining 8 seasons of Charmed to Califia? You ever listen to that?
Yes.
No.
Maybe if we get a chance, I should play that.
They need to review the whole season.
Yeah, 8 seasons. It went on for 15 minutes or something. And then Califia's laughing her head off, and he's improvising on it. And at the end, she says, Bob, you just heard a summary of 8 seasons of Charmed.
The whole thing.
And that was, for me, the greatest performance by Ion in general knowledge. To take an obscure TV show and do that, that should impress everybody. And it turned out Rose McGowan is one of the characters in it. And he said Shannon Doherty got fired from it. Remember that name? She was one of these, Madonna buck-ups or something.
Yep.
She was
90210.
Right. So we should, let's see. You got to go soon, Bert?
No, I'm all right. I'm okay for another hour.
Okay, so let me finish up this. Then maybe we'll play that Charmed. I have not re-listened to it, I don't think. Might be interesting to hear how it comes across. Did anybody ever see it?
Yeah, not all of it, but I saw
a few
watched
shows,
periodically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was funny. Califia goes, Ion, do you know the TV show Charmed? I think he just says yes. What's going on there? Maybe she said something about the characters. And then we just sat back as he spieled out this stuff for a long time. It was just started so innocently. Do you know the show Charmed? Yes. Well, what about this? What's going on there? And then he just went into it. And she was on the floor because I think he was improvising on it.
Yeah.
Doing stuff with it. Okay, so I'll mute. Let's finish up this health thing. Mute all.
All participants are now muted.
Before I go on?
No, we're good. I'll give you as you want.
Got it. Yeah, yes.
That was y'all. Okay, good.
Yeah, it was me.
Good.
When people get bruising, I'm thinking of in the elderly when they start getting black and blue all over.
Mm-hmm.
What's the disconnect there?
Thin skinned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. Thin skinned. You don't have to be old to have that.
Yes, I see.
They get to the point where they, as they've had more contrasting in their life, and someone would have an emotional status of being thick-skinned.
Yeah.
As they age, they start dropping those capillary resistances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not talking about liver spots. We're talking about when they thin skin so that those capillaries just open up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. The same thing that happened to Jesus, your Jesus, when he sweated blood.
Mm.
You can sweat blood the same way.
Mm.
And that's either come from age.
I don't know what that is. Just a second. Hey, Bill, what happened there?
It stopped, Bob. Did you hit stop accidentally?
No, I wasn't even near the computer. So, can you get it going again?
Well, the place was wiped out, so we're in the same fix we were a while ago.
What was wiped out?
The position. If you start, it'll start from the beginning. I've got a rough idea.
Right. Well, just go to the end of bronchitis, about 15 minutes in. Yeah, we're doing bruising.
That might be close. Hang on.
In the first example that shows up in, every single one of your humans who have that chronically have no hair on the top of their feet, on their toes. Those follicles don't get fed.
No, that's not it. I don't even know what that is. That's too far, Bill.
From a spasm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That you think that your oxygen is high when it's not, and so those clothes, they seize.
Mm-hmm.
That's another aspect. But chronic bronchitis comes from folks that when it gets cold and they don't want to be cold and go outside, they develop chronic bronchitis so they don't have to go outside all winter long. They don't want to get the pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
See? But they have vaccinations for pneumonia, so they just call it bronchitis.
Mm-hmm. What was that? Vaccinations cause bronchitis?
They used to be the fear or the disconnect was pneumonia.
Yes, yeah.
Well, they give vaccinations for pneumonia now, so they just call it chronic bronchitis.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal. If those cilia seize, then they get wet, and when they get wet, then they start getting the crackles, and when you start getting the crackles, that's what you call bronchitis if it's not infected.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they have to drain the fluid.
They call bronchitis if it's not infected. We said earlier that bronchitis was infected.
Yes, we know, but one is an infection, and one is affected.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an infection, it's an affection.
So bronchitis is an infection and asthma is an affection.
Correct.
Okay.
Now those overlap a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because most asthmatics have a tendency to a bronchial spasm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is not asthma.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they're all laying on top of each other, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See? What's the difference between arthritis and a knee replacement?
Mm-hmm.
There is some difference, but most times they have a little of both, you see.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, good. Okay, anything more to add before I go on?
No, we're good. Give you as you want.
Got it.
That was y'all. Okay, good.
Yeah, it was me.
Good.
When people get bruising, I'm thinking of in the elderly when they start getting black and blue all over.
Mm-hmm.
What's the disconnect there?
Thin skin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. Thin skin. You don't have to be old to have that.
Yes, I see.
They get to the point where they've had more contrasting in their life, and someone would have an emotional status of being thick-skinned.
Yeah.
As they age, they start dropping those capillary resistances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not talking about liver spots. We're talking about when they thin skin so that those capillaries just open up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. The same thing that happened to Jesus, your Jesus, when he sweated blood.
Mm-hmm.
He can sweat blood the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's either come from age or from a super, super stressed position of releasing those sealed capillaries just below the dermis.
Hmm. So people have the stigmata, they can just bleed, they can sweat blood?
Sure.
Hmm.
Sure, that's a great deal of how they, one of your causal symptomatics of the pretty non-lymphoma Hodgkin's and leukemia.
Okay, explain that.
They are more prone to that place as well, through the chest area, where they'll have the little beads of sweat, which are really blood. Mm-hmm. The whites are so high that the reds release.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or the whites get wiped out and there's no immune resistance to it, so the reds overflow.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, so it's both two conversations, like most things.
Right. Come in and go.
That happens to folks that get into a place of powerlessness.
Okay.
Most every time.
Okay.
So that would be your unconnected place.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thin-skinned and powerless to do anything about it.
Well, no, powerless to do anything, and then that's the symptom.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So they get powerless, and then they get the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Feeble. When folks get feeble,
mm-hmm.
old people that aren't feeble don't have that skin breakdown.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the feeble ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's where that onset of your bed sores come from as well.
Okay, very good. A condition called burning feet.
As in neuropathy?
Yes, exactly, as in neuropathy.
Oh, okay, fun. We can play with that. Neuropathy is the it's a superconductivity from a lack of ability to promote flow of circulation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
There's more. Okay, now, when you say burning, is that like in the numb, tingly, like you lay on your foot and cut off the circulation so your leg's asleep, and then you get up and walk and you have the pins and needles burning
as
well?
Yes, this would be people who are diabetic, burning feet, or even chronic fatigue.
Well, that's just circulation, and that disconnection is they are cutting off their ability to enjoy tactility.
Mm.
You see, if you don't enjoy being tactile, guess what? You become sedentary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the first example that shows up in, every single one of your humans who have that chronically
mm-hmm.
have no hair on the top of their feet, on their
mm-hmm.
toes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those follicles don't get fed, so therefore, hair doesn't grow.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
So that's how you tell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got three things going on there. You got sugar diabetes,
mm-hmm.
which is the same type of issue that comes into it. You have then the lack of circulation or the decreased circulation of the right type of circulation.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people also, if they have a very rich man's diet, then that catches them and they have too much uric acid
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they won't move.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also called gout,
mm-hmm.
which is also a burning.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
And so it can show itself up in various degrees of disconnection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't want to make this everything about disconnection because it's not that way.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But it can lead up to, you see, that's why they call it the practice of medicine, because it's from where they start off in different places,
mm-hmm.
they can land and it could show up as a causal symptom before it becomes critical or chop it off or gangrene or blah, 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 blah. But you see, each level, you got to start it wherever you start, and then the symptoms show up, and then you got to figure out the disconnection from that point.
Mm-hmm.
So these blanket statements have to be on the sliding scale of where they start.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just to be fair.
And
see, those are just four or five different little things that show up that don't necessarily, you can have gout without having sugar. You can have decreased flow of circulation without having gout.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So,
okay.
That's not an end-all, cause-all.
Yeah, that's a good one. Burning mouth.
As in like a stinging or breakdown of an inflamed, like what you would call it, would open into a canker. a canker deposition or like an inside where the skin on the inside of your mouth falls off and is exposed.
More red, more global, not just the canker pinpoint, but the...
No, no. So you can have a mouthful of that. It's called...